Welcome back, Questers. On behalf of the Quest family, I'm Roy Washington, and I want to welcome you to another episode. It has been said that whatever you put your hands to doing, do it with all your might. Give it your all. Our guest today is definitely on her grind and making waves, major waves, in the California music scene. She's a beautiful, gifted, she's a songstress. She also plays a mean piano. She's simply known as Eyes. And I guess if you look at her photo, you can see why. So it is our pleasure to introduce her to the Quest family. Eyes. We're going to kick the show off with one of her songs from her catalog. You know, so kick back and enjoy our conversation with Eyes. This is the Quest, and guess what? You already know. We got you locked in. What up, Questers? This is Roy Washington sitting here with Midwest James, and on the phone we have a young lady out of California. Goes by the name of Eyes. It's her stage name. Very talented. I've listened to some of her work. How you doing?
Hi, I'm having a great day. It's nice and sunny today.
Okay. What's a typical day like for you in your world?
For me, in my world, it's definitely a lot of showers, because I like being clean.
Okay.
So I take a lot of showers, and you know, and then I have my shows at nighttime, so before I go to a show, I always shower before I go to my show, and then I shower once I come back home.
Okay, so if we just average it out, how many showers a day you think you take?
Probably two or three. If I have a show, then it's like three.
Okay.
That's all right. Ain't nothing wrong with being clean.
Yeah.
So you're doing a lot of shows now, you say?
Well, yeah. Actually, I'm doing a show on the 27th at Kaleidoscope Cafe in Point Richmond. I'm going to be performing some of my own original songs. And I also host a live music series called Live Action Music. It's actually a hip-hop event. And all of these underground hip-hop artists from all over, actually. We've had artists come from Los Angeles, from all over the country. And they perform at Live Action Music. And it's a wonderful show. So everybody may not be into hip-hop, but what we try to do is we try to take it back, you know, to the Sugar Hill Gang days.
Okay.
Yeah, and then bring you up to date on not only what's going on today, but what's going to be popping in the future. So I host that event.
Oh.
And it's really a lot of fun. Yeah.
You host that event, huh?
Yeah, yeah. I'm a hostess. Not a real MC. I try. But, you know.
Yeah, because you had a song called Diamond Tears. Well, I'm going to talk about some of your songs, but Diamond Tears really, a song like that and a song like, what was the other one? Stop. Are those from your personal experiences?
Yes, they are.
Yeah, they sounded real personal, like some stuff that you went through before.
Yes, it is. So, thank you for noticing. Nobody's ever brought those up before. That song got played a few years after I wrote it in the club, and I really think that it was probably the wrong place to play it.
Okay.
Because a few weeks before, I performed that song at an event called From Hippie to Hypie, and this is like years and years ago. And the crowd, they just really wasn't expecting to hear that song.
Okay.
And then that song gave me a reputation. And because of that reputation, that's why I wanted it to be played at the nightclub, to let it be known, well, you know, give my song a fair chance. And it was at a lounge, and people listened to it. It's just a girl, she started crying when she heard the song. I actually didn't know she was crying. Somebody told me after I left.
Wow.
And, yeah, so it's just, I'm glad that you listened to that song, because it is more of a favorite. So one of my favorite songs, because
right.
It's like the second or third song that I wrote. It's probably the third song I wrote.
Well, that's the power of music. You know, you wrote that from your personal experiences, and you never know, people from your fan base, they may be going through some of the same thing, and it touched somebody, you know what I'm saying? So that's beautiful.
Yeah. Thank you.
What comes from the heart reaches the heart.
Most definitely. When did you start singing?
Well, I started singing since I was little, like, I'm talking about like a toddler, and I wanted to be just like Judy Garland.
Okay.
Little Mermaid. I started taking singing lessons and piano lessons when I was a toddler, and I was discovered also by reality star, and I started taking acting lessons all around the same time, and I got my first gig as a singer at my preschool graduation, singing Over the Rainbow, and I've never ever since. This is my life, this is what I do. So, yeah.
So you actually play instruments?
Yeah, I sing and play the piano. I was taught how to sing with my auntie. She's an opera singer and a music teacher. And my mom and her two sisters were in a singing group in the 50s.
Oh, what was the name of that group?
Huh?
What was the name of that group?
The Manuel Sisters.
The Manuel Sisters.
Hmm. Yes, they were spiritual music.
Okay.
And, yeah, they were popular in the churches around Oakland, California.
Okay. That's where you're from?
Yeah. Well, yeah, you could say I'm from Oakland. I just consider myself from the Bay Area, but my mom is from Oakland. And I've lived in Oakland, but I've also lived around Oakland in, like, Emeryville, and spent a lot of time in Berkeley and Richmond as well. So I don't really, in Vallejo, California. So
okay.
I don't really consider myself from Oakland, even though I spent most of my time there.
Okay.
So yeah.
Do you remember your first show you ever did?
The one in preschool, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What did you perform there?
You said, what did I perform?
Yeah.
I performed Over the Rainbow.
Somewhere over the
rainbow. Yeah, and I had a pianist. I actually didn't know him, and I haven't seen him since. He accompanied me, and I was just like a little professional singer, and it was awesome.
Okay. You know, I like to listen to a lot of your songs. Fading, is that your current hit right now? The song that you're
Fading, that was actually You know, I never officially released it because I am a perfectionist, and I never got to finish, like, editing some stuff out.
Okay.
Because there's some parts in there that were added to it. I guess, it wasn't my permission. They just did it. One day I'm like, okay, well, that needs to be removed, but I never got a chance to, and of course I don't have the file. So, yeah, but I used to perform that song a lot, and it had, like, choreography and everything, but I don't really perform that song as much.
Okay.
But yeah, I like to. I play. I still let my fans like. I think a request. Someone requested it, so I put it back up on my Reverb Nation page. But so, yeah.
Okay, and also like the Levitating, the remix, and the regular version was pretty good.
Thank you. You've listened to all my songs. I appreciate it.
Yes, I did. I listened to Go For It. Diamond Tears.
Oh, yeah, now that song is popular.
Go For It is the popular one?
Yeah, it's not popular like I released it. Right. I used to perform that song at RuPaul Mondays, Ascension Bar.
At who? And who Mondays?
Huh?
What Mondays? What you called it?
RuPaul Mondays.
RuPaul Mondays.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a track, so, but I used to perform there.
Okay.
And every week, it would be Go For It in another song. And then one day when they introduced me, it was like, everybody, we all know the words to this song. I'm like, okay. and then I got up there and performed it, and people, they just were singing along, and the part where I hold the long note, everybody else, they try to battle out that long note. And I'll put the mic up to one of their lips while they singing.
Okay.
I'm not gonna do it again because one of them fans sounded a lot like me, but was out of tune.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, we don't want to have an out of tune version of me. But I used to perform that song at RuPaul Mondays all the time, and then of course I performed it at other shows as well, and it just became really popular, like, in the gay community, and then also at Berkeley Community Media, I did like a video version, which is not an official video, it's like a story version of the video, and we premiered it there, and everybody really liked it and everything, and so it's popular, but it's not officially been released.
I've seen a couple of your videos that you seem to have the little cartoon animation going on.
Oh, the Mies video?
Yes.
You really did your research. Yeah. I used to do the Mies videos. I believe something happened with the Cam Studio, so I stopped doing it, and I really couldn't figure out how if I could do any Mies videos without my Cam Studio, so I just stopped doing it.
You said you had a song was popular in the gay community.
Yeah, that was Go For It.
I want to ask you a question. Now, not personal, but what is your sexual preference?
Oh, no, I'm not gay. I'm not a drag queen or anything like that. But I have done a lot of shows in the gay community, and I've helped raise money for various charities. And so I think that they admire that. And I got a title in the gay community called Royal Spice Girl. I have other titles, too. I'm also a mermaid, but it was due to the shows that I did to raise money for charity. So.
Okay, it's Roy Washington with Midwest James. We're talking with a very, very talented musical artist named Eyes. We got you locked in right now. You know my very favorite song that I heard out of your catalog, though? That song, Lovely. There's something about that song just... I just love that song.
Thank you.
That's my favorite out of all of them.
Aw, that's so sweet. Thank you.
That's a nice little kind of little mellow, kind of slow jamming one, you know. And the little video you sent me, which you was at the piano performing it. That was a nice little performance.
Oh, that one was probably for Dedicated, right?
Yeah, you was Dedicated, but you did Lovely.
Oh.
You did Lovely.
Oh, I know which one you're talking about from Instagram.
Yes. Yeah, but your Instagram, yeah. you don't get too much time on that though. It didn't last long enough for me.
Instagram video. Yeah, that was a show that I did only a few days before I sent it to you. So I was at the Oakland office.
Oh, that was recent.
Yeah, I performed that song at the Oakland office earlier, like maybe about 5 days ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are all your songs up on Reverb Nation?
All my songs are on Reverb Nation?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think I have other songs. I really try to spread my songs around because with the internet and social media, people forget that it's owned by someone else and they have a right to delete, destroy anything that you do. And it's not guaranteed that it'll stay there forever. And I learned my lesson, you know, with MySpace.
Okay.
And they deleted all my pictures and all my stuff, and that really broke my heart. So I don't really trust the internet.
Well, MySpace.
So I really try to spread my music around. Because I've had songs that I've uploaded on various places that were deleted, and that was the only copy. Like, if something happened to my computer, and I tried to download it from there, and I couldn't, and then they deleted that. So
wow.
Now I don't have a copy. So, yeah. I try to spread my music around. I'm also on Django.
Django.
Or Django. Yes, Django.
A lot of different music sites. It's a lot of different music sites to put music up on. We understand what you're saying because it's also a real good promotional tool. You know, one site to another, you know, actually a lot of them, they actually allow you to sell. Do you sell any of your music on any of your websites?
I'm on Bandcamp, and you can buy GoFort from Bandcamp. But once again, like, GoFort is not an official release. But if you want to buy it, it's on Bandcamp. So I think it's bandcamp.com/eyes, EYEC.
Okay. Banzoogle is that's another one. That's a pretty good site as well.
Pandora.
Oh, okay.
Oh, Pandora, you say?
But are you on iTunes by any chance?
I was on a few compilations, and you can get my music on iTunes from those. The only thing that you'll find on iTunes is Dedicated, my single Dedicated. You spell it Dedicated with 3 periods at the end. So, I guess I am. Yeah, I'm on iTunes. and you spell my name EYE apostrophe Z. So some people spell it wrong with EYEZ, and I am on some people's compilations spelled eyes, but that's not the correct way to spell it.
The crowds that you're used to performing in front of, have you got to the point where you're in front of large crowds now, or...?
It always varies, and it always depends, too, on the type of shows that I'm doing. Now, like, when I do, like, the cafes and stuff, they're usually... Sometimes they're full, sometimes they're not. It doesn't really bother me. It also depends on the type of show, like if I'm supposed to be performing for 45 minutes or if I'm just performing 3 songs. But the live action music, of course, is always packed. Like, from wall to wall.
Okay.
But, you know, I do cafes and I do nightclubs and I do, like, larger events as well.
You are listening to The Quest in our conversation we're having with Eyes, very popular, very talented singer from the West Coast. And this is one of her joints. It's called Go For It. This is Eyes, and you are locked into The Quest.
Just see me through. you put in effort in every detail. Precious, your triumph day is coming the moment that you finish. So
we're back with Eyes. This is Roy Washington with Midwest James, speaking with Eyes. Very, very talented singer. So she plays the piano as well. So all-around artist. And I've listened to a lot of her music. Very, very talented. Tell me, you have any, sometimes people have crazy stories from things that happened during their performances. What's the craziest performance you've had, or something that had happened?
Craziest, I guess that's hard to say, because mm-hmm. I'm not that much of a crazy person.
I mean, nothing happened in the audience or anything.
No, that was really just weird. I don't know. I almost came out with stories, and I thought about it, like, nah.
Okay, must have been crazy.
But yeah, I'm trying to think of crazy stories, and I can't think of one. I'm sorry.
How do you prepare yourself for a big show?
Well, what we were talking about earlier, taking showers. Like, I just feel like once I get out the shower, you know, everything's clean, a clean slate, put the makeup on,
right.
Clothes, all that. And, and I think that when you get out the shower and you're preparing, like, you kind of clear your mind. But what I will say is I get in the zone.
Okay.
So, like, people in my family and everybody around me, like, as long as they're understanding, you know, let's just say, 5 seconds behind schedule, I make that known.
Ooh.
You know, and that's why it's good to be calm outside of your shows. Because once it's time for you to go on, can't nothing stop you. And whatever needs to be said or done needs to be said or done.
Okay.
And the people around you need to understand that about you. So that's why it's important to be nice to people. Because when the life's getting ready to go on, it's like, you know, we're getting there now. You know what I mean? So I stay really focused. I need to be there. I'm always on time. I'm punctual. I don't like being late.
Right.
I always show up. So, yeah, it's just, you know, clearing your mind, and it really just automatically comes, like, oh, it's almost curtain time, you know, get there and you do it, so.
Are you, at this time, are you working with a music label or a recording label, or are you basically independent?
I wish I was on a label. No, I'm not. I'm independent. I record my own music out of my own money.
But you have a.
I wish I was signed.
But in order to make money,
yeah, I write
your shows,
my own music, and I pay for my own studio time. So
okay,
yeah.
But you have a street team who basically distributes your music and doing your shows, and you have a team.
I mean, you could call the street team when I say, like, friends and family to help promote my shows. They do help me just a little bit, but the truth is you can't depend on anybody to promote yourself but you.
Okay. So you're basically making a living. So you're basically making a living off of your music, off of your dream.
I'm trying.
Well, that's
yeah,
what,
I'm trying, but I'm not.
For.
I wish I could tell you, you know, I wish, you know, I could give, be in a position to give advice or something like that, but I'm really not, you know.
Well, you know what?
You know,
I'm going to say
trying.
This. I want to say this. Even if you're not making the money that you really want to make right now, you're still putting forth the effort and you're still making a living off of the thing that it is that you really want to do. This is what you want to do with your life, right?
Yeah.
And you're making money off of it. So it doesn't Aww. Really matter the amount of money that you're making. It's a point of doing something that you love to do.
What you love to do, you're passionate
right.
about it.
Right, you're passionate about it and you're able to do it, you're able to make money off of it. You never know, one day you may be paid the kind of money that you that you deserve. But for right now though, just keep it going. Because this is, you already living your dream. You really are.
Aw, thank you.
Well, you said you're doing shows. Well, you doing it, then. You're doing shows
yeah.
every day?
Well, yeah, every week.
Every
Almost every week.
Yeah, every week.
I wish.
Well, you're doing
shows
every week.
Well, I guess I better not wish that I do shows every day, because then I would get so tired.
Well, you got to think about it. There will come a time, you know, you keep going, you know, when you become in demand by basically like... you know, promoters from different cities and things like that. Now, you know, when they call, when sometimes tours can last, could last months. And you may
Or years.
Yeah, you may be on the road
I've
for a long
time. I've had an experience with tours. Now, there was a time when I toured for like 3 years straight. And that's why, like, you know, when we were talking earlier, you know, off recording, like, there was a time I was doing shows like all the time. And it got to the point where someone asked me, like, there were, like, through an agency, they were asking about, well, how many shows have you done? And the answer, I had a manager at the time, and we were like, you did about 300 shows or something like that. It was a really, like, ridiculous, even if it wasn't 300, it could have been over 300.
Right.
But it was, like, to the point where I had did so many shows that it wasn't believable. Like, nobody believed that I did that many shows.
You put in the work.
Because you also have to take it to the factor that you could do 2 shows in a day. You could do a show at a festival at 12 at noon and then do a show at a nightclub at, like, 10 p.m.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So,
it got to the point where I was doing so many shows and I was like not, I was just so used to just doing so many shows. And you know, like I told you earlier about like doing a lot of shows in the gay community, like they like doing like 5 or 6 shows a day. You talk to the right people, to the right drag queens, they will have you performing morning, noon, and night.
Right.
So like, and I was doing some of those shows. And it can happen. You know, they have brunch shows where you brunch. They have shows that start at 3 p.m. They have shows that go on until 3 a.m. You know what I mean? So,
right.
You know, it is possible to do a ridiculously high amount of shows. And I did it, and I had to stop because nobody even believed that I did it. And I remember, like, the kind of response I got back. They didn't say it, but it was like, yeah, right. You know what I mean? So, but, you know, and if you're an artist and you're listening, you know, sometimes, like, you gotta, like, take a moment to just say, you know what, I'm done touring. Because it's, like, always going to L.A. to do, like, one show. Like, I was that artist. You know what I mean? I was more, like, chasing and running after. And there's really nothing wrong with that. But once you've done, like, let's just say 100 shows in the next 2 to 3 months, you're going to be like, that show wasn't working. Especially because a lot of times there's mix-ups and, oh, you're not supposed to perform today. And then you go all the way to L.A. and then things go bad.
Wow. So what would you
know
say
what
your
mean?
Fan base?
So,
what would you say your fan base is like?
Huh?
What would you say your fan base is like now?
My fan base?
Yeah. Do you have a
You know, that's interesting because my fan base is beginning to change. And I like it because the type of fans that I'm attracting now are more loyal. So, yeah, I used to have different types of bands. At first, it was a lot of little kids, and then it was more like, you know, gays and drag queens. But now I'm getting more just a general. Oh yeah, and then when I was with the Barbary Coast Review, it was like family type of fan base. But now my fan base, I think, is more true, and it's more like people who just genuinely like me as an artist.
You're making noise.
Even if I'm not singing my own songs, they want to hear me sing cover songs. They just want to hear me sing.
You're making noise.
I guess you could say in the 30s, from like 21 to 40, I guess. 20s to 40s.
You sound like you should be recording an album. Now, you gotta, huh? You sound like you should be recording an album.
I don't want to get into this, but I did record an album. It just didn't get released. So the only song from that is Dedicated. That was released officially. And some of the songs that are on my Reverb Nation page, like Radio and Lovely. Lovely was actually going to have a remix to it. But like a lot of the songs that are on my websites and pages are songs that were to be going on that album. So, but right now I'm working on new material. So I don't want to think about the album that never got released. I don't want to sit and think about that anymore. And I want to try to record new stuff.
Oh yeah, new material.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lovely. I love to hear that remix. So you gonna put that remix on the new album?
We finished the remix. I'm actually working on it with Frankie Biggs.
With Frankie who?
Artist he is. If he doesn't believe that he should send it, then it doesn't get sent. Unfortunately, it does. It's just some artists are just very eccentric like that. And but now that I know that people want to hear the remix, I guess I will put more of an effort to do it. And I can re-record it and do my own little remix. So,
yeah, like I said,
I'll definitely keep that in mind.
That's a great song. Have you worked with any mainstream artists or big producers who are like kind of like quote-unquote well-known or popular?
Well, Frankie Big, but other than him, no.
Frankie Biggs, you know. What's his claim to fame, Frankie Biggs?
Frankie Biggs has been around since the 80s.
Okay.
And he's worked with Christina Aguilera, and he's worked with Daddy Yankee.
Okay.
And a lot of Puerto Ricans.
He's worked with
So a lot of Hispanic people.
Okay.
He's representing for the Latinos. So, yeah.
All right, so, out of the studio, like let's say if we came to somebody was to come to California like on a Friday or Saturday night or something, you didn't have a show, where would they catch you at? Is there any spots or anything you like to do when you're not doing your music?
Oh, what do I like to do when I'm not doing music? I like getting my hair done and my makeup done. But, you know, I actually like doing my shows. So I would suggest, if I'm not doing a show, to catch me at BTV. That's a television studio where my television show, Birthday Drama, and my Music Block TV air. I like to hang around at BTV, and I help other producers with their shows if they want to. They need a camera person or someone to do tapes. I'm usually behind the scenes. So BTV is actually a good place to catch me if I'm not performing.
Can I ask you a question?
And chances are I will be performing there too. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can I ask you a question?
Uh-huh.
Is that like a public television station or is that like a
public access?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a public access or cable access show.
Do you have any from your TV show, do you have any of that on YouTube or something, or is there a place where you can find it?
No. It doesn't air on YouTube because there are a couple of episodes on YouTube, like if there's a certain artist that wanted it uploaded, but we don't upload a lot of episodes online because, unlike everybody else, you see, I'm not like the other web TV shows where we make a lot of money and all these advertisers. It's not like that. So we actually appreciate all the ratings that we can get.
Okay.
So I like for people to actually watch the show. And it also gives the artists, and including myself, that feeling like, oh, look, I'm on TV. I don't like it when people just be like, oh, yeah, it's playing on TV, but you never seen it. And what they do at this network is they live stream all of their shows. So you can watch whatever airing on VTV right now. You can watch it on YouTube or online. And they have that link on their website. So, and I have, like, on my Music Block TV, you can get to that link through my website, too. MyMusicBlockTV.weekly.com. So...
Okay.
Yeah.
You have a question?
I was just going to say, you're very busy.
I try to stay busy. You know? I try. Thank you.
What's Wait, up?
Am I too busy for you? You want me to calm down?
No, no, no. This is the way it's supposed to be. I mean, you're always working. I mean, you know, this is the way to get ahead in the entertainment business. You have to work.
You have to put it in. Aw,
thank you. Yeah, I try to stay busy.
What's some of your favorite music that you like to listen to?
The favorite music? Now, I know that I'm a pop singer, but I listen to hip-hop and rap. I like the Sugar Hill Gang, but I like trap.
Okay.
I like trap.
I noticed, too.
Like,
I noticed,
real, like, I noticed, that's good.
I noticed you keep mentioning Sugar Hill Gang. How old are you?
I'm not the Sugar Hill Gang generation. I just like the Sugar Hill Gang.
No,
I think that we should pay homage to the forefathers, and especially, you know, with hip hop, you know, the truth is just about every hip hop artist bite off of them, and it's, and the truth is they're biting off of somebody else's bite from them.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it just keeps on going. You don't even know who you got that from. But I love the Sugar Hill Gang. It really has nothing to do with my age. It's just, first of all, listening to the song, you hear the song, and then finding out that, oh, that's the first, like, rap song, or the first hip-hop, like, hit rap song.
Right.
So, and I just like them, and I checked them out, because they're still touring and everything. And Master G does not look the age that he is.
Oh,
okay. So I love the Sugar Hill Gang.
You know what it is? The music is keeping them young.
Yeah, maybe it's the music that's keeping them young, but I really think the gym has a lot to do with it, too.
So you like
he
some
of... He does not look his age. He does not look like he was the first rap star. I'll put it like that.
So you like some...
He was one of the first rap stars.
Right, he was. You like some of the other old school groups like Eric B. and Rakim and Public Enemy, Run DMC?
I like Grandmaster Caz. Like, I like him. Cause he actually is the one that wrote the lyrics to some of the words in the Sugar Hill Gang's Rapper's Delight from Big Bang Hank.
Right.
I like him. You know, the thing is, hip-hop got really complicated after a while, and I really don't listen to, like, I don't like when people try to educate me too much. I like it a little bit, but, like, really trying to educate, like, that really turns me off. I think with a lot of today's hip-hop, though, which I'm really not qualified to say, but I am a musician, though, like, I think that they're trying to say stuff that they really don't live by.
So how does
like,
you
you're trying to say, you this or that, and you actually don't do it.
So how did you come across?
You just saying it,
okay.
I think, yeah. So like, I like hip hop being hard. All hip hop ain't gotta be hard, but that's the kind of hip hop I prefer. But I feel like any artist or any musician to always write about what you know.
So
I don't think all rappers do that. I think people are just on the hip hop bandwagon.
So can I ask
for
you a
me,
question?
I have to stay true to myself. It's who I am in my heart and in my soul as a pop singer and a pop artist. so, and I do pop, but I definitely love rap, hip hop, trap, hip hop. You know, that's something that I like. And it's funny because I used to hate hip hop and rap. I used to hate it with a passion.
Right. But we're listening to some of the names that you're bringing up, though. And we were just kind of wondering, how did you first come across Sugar Hill Gang? And how did you, did your parents listen to?
No, my parents didn't allow me to listen to rap music growing up. So, but I found out about it. I think that we listen to the Sugar Hill Gang, but we don't know that it's there. Yeah. So, but I remember when I was about, like, maybe 14 on VH1, they said, oh, this was the first rap song. I was like, oh, wait a minute. I know that song. Because I've heard it on the radio. Like, that's one of those songs that really doesn't escape.
Right.
You know? And then, it just, sometimes that song gets stuck in my head. And then one day I was like, man, what are they doing? And I looked them up. And I actually got confused. Because it turns out, like, a lot of older music groups, someone stole their name and was performing under their name.
No.
And I got really confused and I was like, let me come back to this later.
Right.
But I always come back and I bought their DVDs. Man, they are just so cool. So it's really not like my parents used to listen to them, so I listen to them.
Right.
I kind of just like put it together and I also, you know, VH1 saying that they were the first rap stars. Like, that had something to do with it. And that was, like, years ago when I was, like, in my early to mid-teens. So, and it's just over time. It's really just over time. It kind of boiled up. And I listened to one of their newer songs called the La La Song.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's just one of those things that's snowballing into effect. You're probably going to see me next time with a Sugar Hill Gang t-shirt on or something. And I'm trying to go to their shows, but they'll never come to the part of the Bay Area that I'm at. They always go to L.A. or something, so.
You know what? You're going to single-handedly bring back the Sugar Hill Gang on this broadcast.
Yeah, I think that they're having, like, legal problems with their name, but it looks like it's going in their favor. So, good luck to the Sugar Hill Gang. I love y'all, man. We got to hang out. Make music or something. I would love to make music with them, but, you know, I just want to be around them all the time, be their friends. You know, they are cool. Come on, you know. Like, they're the first rap stars. That's cool.
Right. You know, talking to you make me feel like I'm talking to a female version of KRS-One with all your knowledge.
Really?
I'm expecting you to...
You know, the thing is, I'm not that...
Hey, I'm expecting you to...
I'm not like a rapper lyricist. I just like what I like.
Right. But that's good, though. You know, you know the history, you know?
Yeah, and you know, that's the thing with live action music. I brought a hip-hop comic book. And I was like, I happened to be walking down the street in Telegraph and check out this new store by Rasputin. And they happen to have some music books. I was like, And when I saw that hip-hop, I was like, oh, hell yeah, I'm bringing this to the show. And I brought it to the show. So, you know, just to have, you know, a little novelty. It's just in the book, though. They spent too much time hating on Vanilla Ice. It's like, we get it.
No. Yeah, you're not gonna start talking about DJ Kool Herc next, are you?
I don't know.
Well, hip hop originated 1973.
The hip hop family tree.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, it's really cool. You guys should pick it up. Of course, they hate. Oh, when I said Vanilla Ice, they was hating on Blondie. It's like, man, come on, man.
Oh, who, Blondie?
Everybody knows. Huh?
You said Blondie?
Yeah. Because remember, she made a rap song called Rapture.
Yeah, that was a nice little song. You know what I mean? I didn't consider her a rapper, but that's art.
Exactly. And it's like, you know, they got her. They really bashing her in the book. It's like, man, she wasn't trying to be no rapper.
Right.
Just like she just liked rap, like me. Like,
right.
I'm a pop singer. I like rap, and I'm not... I mean, I will say I could probably get down a little bit, but, you know,
right.
She was not trying to be, like, the next rap superstar. It's like, come on, man. she's just like the art form.
Right.
And she did it herself. And it, and she would have looked even dumber if she was trying to be somebody she's not. She was just being herself. And she was just, she just rapped a little bit. She just added it to what she does. She wasn't trying to be the next rap superstar. Like,
right,
but just, you know, people write books based on their opinions.
Right. So. Just like you heard the song West End Girls by the Pet Shop Boys, right?
Heard it, and I'd have to hear it when I
You remember West End Girls? Yeah,
that's how.
Yeah, yeah. He was rapping on there, but you know they wasn't trying to. But I mean, that song is just stupid hot. You know, that's a classic.
Really?
Yeah, you should Google that later. Pet Shop Boys, West End Girls. That's
okay.
That's one of the all time classics there. I think they're different.
Okay, and you know you guys should come down to Live Action Music. I don't know if y'all travel or anything, but if y'all come to the Bay Area, come to Live Action Music because that's where all the hip hop is. Like, come. Oh, and we had like we're gonna get some boogaloo dancers, some authentic boogaloo dancers, not just like the new generation. We're talking about the original.
Okay.
From Oakland. So if y'all ever come to the Bay Area, you know, definitely try to stop by Live Action Music.
All right, yeah, that's what we was talking to you off the microphone earlier, and well, we'll holler at you in a minute. We're about to wrap this up. We're about to wrap this up. I want to ask you, with all the touring that you've done, all the shows, what's some of the other places you've been that
you mean doing shows?
Yes. Where's places you've traveled?
I've been to Ballast Wah. It was awesome. I did the Barbary Coast Review there. I was there a few years before that. And then I did another series over at Balançoire. I love Balançoire. They're just awesome. They have a Balançoire on their ceiling and they lower it.
Okay.
And I want to ride that thing. So maybe one day we can. But the owners are great. Rick and Bill, they're awesome people. They're very sweet. The chef always makes sure I get my money's worth.
Okay.
If not, right. A little something, you
right.
know. The Balançoire is definitely an awesome venue to perform at.
All right. Well, it's been awesome talking to you. Like I said, I love your music, and we're going to basically keep in touch.
Thank you.
And we're going to highlight you once we get off the microphone.
Hey, could I ask one question before we end the broadcast?
Go ahead, Midwest James.
This is kind of like off the subject, but being from Oakland, how you feel about the Cavaliers beating the Warriors in the NBA Finals?
Aw, man.
You need some tissue?
You know what? I'm not into sports, but what I will say is on that idolizing of that Curry guy, like, they needed that blow because, like, too many people idolizing somebody that really ain't from. You know what I mean? They got murals painted of him all over Oakland. It's like,
wow.
This dude ain't really from Oakland. Like, you know, like, he got up the Murder Dub sign, and he not from no Murder Dubs. Like, I may not be no basketball historian, but I don't remember nobody ever saying he's from the Murder Dubs, though. So...
You said they got murals they got murals and stuff of him all over the place?
Huh?
You said they got murals and stuff of him all over?
There is murals of this guy holding up the Murder Dubs.
Wow.
Like, and dressed like Matt Dre with like an afro. And it's like, man, I know you work for Oakland and all that, but like, I don't know about all that.
What? What about Draymond and Klay? They not getting no love like that?
Huh?
Draymond and Klay Thompson, they not getting no love like that? He's not the only big shot on the team.
He does a lot of stuff. I've never got to see him in person and some of the things he does, but he does a lot of things with like Mr. Fab.
Okay.
So like Mr. Fab would know more about that. Mr. Fab does a backpack drive, and I know that a lot of celebrities contribute to that, and they, it's to give children like free backpacks and pencils and stuff like that. I know that he's a good supporter of that.
Okay.
That was something good that I could definitely say about that.
Oh, okay. All right, well, thank you
Yeah, because it's real. It's not just, oh, celebrities are there. It's like, this is really getting done for the community. Anything that Mr. Fab does is really, it's real.
Okay.
He's, Mr. Fab's a really good guy.
All right, well, we're about to wrap it up with Eyes. This is Roy Washington with Midwest James. We had a great conversation. Just really enjoyed talking to you.
It's been a real nice interview.
And just wish you many, many, many more blessings with your music and with, you know, with everything that you do. So thank you for hollering at us today. And you guys have been locked into the quest.
We hope you enjoyed our conversation with Eyes. Big ups to Midwest James for coming through and, you know, being in on it, you know, being an integral part of the interview. She is super, super talented, and I'm very, very impressed with her knowledge of history, musical history, because they paved the way for us, and you know, paved the way for what's going on now, and people are now going to pave the way for the future. So, and she's a big part of what's going on right now on the West Coast, representing, doing her thing. This is Eyes with a remix of her joint, Levitation. And in case you didn't know, hey, you've been locked into the quest.
Like a kite, so let's go. Cause I won't know so much more of the things you ain't supposed to know. I feel I'm levitating. I can't stop this feeling. Don't stop the feeling. I love the feeling. Don't stop the feeling. I'm a little freak. I don't want a thin drink. I want some more of your candy sweet. So let's go, cause I wanna know so much more of the things you ain't supposed to know. So special to me, and in every way I'm in so deep, especially when you looked at me and said you loved me. I'm your freak, I'm your freak, I'm your freak in the sheets. Oh, I'm your freak, baby, I'm your freak. Don't stop the feeling. I love the feeling. Don't stop the feeling. Don't stop it.
Hey everyone, I have to correct myself. That song was Levitating, the remix version by Eyes. Levitating. I'd like to thank her for a great conversation. I was just very impressed with her musical history and her reverence of the legends that paved the way. Eyes is the total package. May God continue to bless her music and her efforts and her life as a whole. You know, just many blessings, and hopefully that everything you touch, Eyes, everything you touch turns to gold. Thanks to Midwest James for sitting in, and shout out to the whole Quest Roundtable, DJ Dre Dilla. Big ups with the Lewis's, the Gladney's, Clinton's, Washington's, Browns, as always. Big ups, Brother Moss, what's going on? Great supporter of what we're trying to do, and to everybody who's supporting what we're doing. Thank you. I can't thank you enough. So we're going to get out of here, and as we move on, as we get ready to leave, hit you with another one of her joints. This is Stop by Eyes. You guys be blessed, and we'll see you next time.
Every day, you ain't gotta save me. Oh shit, I'll burn in hell.